just going to do a simple Bible study tonight, just our Bible verses and go through some things. You can stay there for a little bit. You know, many of you could be teachers, and we don't have all the teachers up here that can teach. You're going to get your day, and we're going to look forward to it. But, you know, there's so many people out there that really, and this isn't prideful, don't know what you know because of where you're at and understanding. We want to talk about some scriptural prayers that you can be praying along with praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk so much about praying in the Holy Spirit around here, and that's good, but we can also leave out scriptural prayers that we need to be praying, prayers of understanding. And I think this is vital for us to look at and to encourage you to stay on a continual basis praying the prayers that God placed in His Word, and understand that there are multiple ways in which we can be effective in the kingdom, and how that we can pray the prayers that God would have us to pray. And that we're not going to study as far as the actual mechanics of prayer tonight. We're just going to give you some Pauline prayers so you can look at them. And many of you probably study these and have studied them extensively, but I continue to encourage you to do so. Years ago, I was speaking at a large church in Fort Myers, and it was at a Bible study, and there was a women's Bible study. I was talking about how that the freedom that we have in praying in tongues and praying with our understanding. And this lady that was there, God bless her, I don't know if it was during the time, I can't remember, or after we got into discussion, she had a real exception in the sense of the word that her concept was, well, you either pray in tongues or you either pray with your understanding, and you have to have them at separate kind of times. And I said, no, that's not right according to the Word of God. You can vacillate, you can pray in tongues and pray you know, with your understanding as well. And well, she couldn't quite see it, but she probably did it later on. But we have such a freedom. I've found out through the years, and you've found out this as well, is that in private worship, the Holy Spirit will help you. And He's our helper. And so when we're praying in tongues, we pray in tongues, we pray with our understanding. Also, when we're worshiping, it's good to just, you know, when I broke into worship years ago, I would just worship, and leave tongues for a section and then go back to tongues. But I found now that it's so wonderful to worship, pray in tongues, let the Holy Spirit build me up, help me to present my adoration towards the Father and the Son. Hallelujah, toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Paul encourages us to pray prayers in our understanding. We where do we get some of this? Well, just so you'll know, and like I said, you're probably already really steeped in this. But for those that are just breaking in, and we've got some newbies that are starting to come to church. A guy called me when I was away he might be watching tonight. If you are, sir, I'm so glad. He's just visited recently. He was born again, kind of had some things going on, got back, and recently he's been listening to our discipleship training manual, and out of that, I think just out of that and listening to that, if I'm not mistaken, the part on, like, you can just receive, and from my understanding, it was right after that, after he read that and listened to that, that he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, hallelujah, we've got people out there like him and like others, and that's to the best of my knowledge from that conversation I had with him, that he called me up there and was really glad for the things the Lord was doing in his life. So, 1 Corinthians 14:13. Let's look at that for just a moment so we understand the freedom we have and how that we ought to, on a continual basis, go to other prayers. Now, I know that you can make up your own prayers because you have that freedom to go straight to the Father. And now we're not asking Jesus, we're asking the Father in Jesus' name. Our petitions, our supplications, they're to the Father and in His name, in Christ's name. But 1 Corinthians 14:13 says this. Paul is talking about the rules for the church, and we're not, like I said, this is kind of a brief, just kind of go to scripture kind of night. He's talking about the vacillation, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And these verses here is to keep order in the church, because he's really addressing an issue where if people come into the church and they're not born again and they hear us all praying in tongues, he said, then they're going to think, you know, that we're mad. But he said, if you'll pray in tongues and then vacillate and come out and worship, sing in the Spirit, sing in tongues, and speak words that can be legibly understood or can be understood, then they will know, they'll hear the message, they'll know that of truth that God is in your midst. But verse 13 says this, Paul said, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, unknown's not there, but we're just going to say it's italicized in the King James, pray that he may interpret, that is the gift, if tongues for interpretation, but this is not applicable to your tongue of edification, and that's another teaching. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? He goes, here's the conclusion, and again, especially for the church, for the benefit of no confusion in the church, what is it then? I will. Here's our will. And this is really something that people, I grew up in a Pentecostal denomination, and they believed you could speak in tongues, but they didn't believe that necessarily, they didn't teach it that you could do it at will. And the amazing part is the moment that you, in your decision-making process, in the will part of you, say, I want to pray in tongues, when you're filled with the Spirit, that faith goes inwardly, and your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, is activated in faith, and you begin to pray the mysteries, that heavenly language, by the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, what is it then? I will. Everybody say, I will. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. And he says, I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. I don't know how many of you do this sometimes at home, but you don't have to be in church. You can just start singing and singing and singing in the Holy Spirit. Well, what are you saying? I don't know, but I bet God does. I know God does, and I know that the Lord enjoys it. You know, we could stop right now and start singing in the Spirit. It doesn't matter what your mood is. That has nothing to do with it. You activate by faith. I will pray in the Spirit. I will sing in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Notice how deliberate Paul is towards tongues and praying with the understanding. It's important that we understand. And I try to pray in tongues a lot. I try to get in a habit that I'm just continually praying in tongues. I have to watch myself in public. I'm going down the road driving, and Candy says, you sound like a little chipmunk over there. Not a chipmunk. A little birdie whispering over there. And so it's good to be in the continual. I tell you, the Holy Spirit, he's saved my life. He's saving my life. If you just keep praying in the Spirit, you won't go shipwrecked. Hallelujah. And I just know that. I've tied a knot in the Holy Spirit, and I'm hanging on, and hallelujah. I'm getting stronger and stronger all the time. Amen. Every one of us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 6:13. Just turn here some scripture. Paul, this is going to introduce other prayers here, but this is one of our famous stand on the with our weaponry and okay, let me read it and not try to exhort it. 6:13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, when he says, which is the Word of God, he is saying here that this is the Rhema. It's not the Logos. It's the Rhema. It's the spoken Word of God. And he says that we should take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When he says praying always with all prayer, he's talking about that there are different types or different manners of prayer. So that's what we have to associate ourselves with, and we have to have an understanding that, Lord, where is it in your word where I can get more of these? Pray these prayers on a continual basis. For years, I've kind of drifted from it. I'm going back to it. I was doing it yesterday. That I'm going through these Pauline prayers and praying them specifically. The Amplified says this. I hope you can appreciate this. It says, praying at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty, to that the end keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all saints, consecrated people. Notice that there is a difference when he's talking about there's different manners or different types of prayer that we ought to be praying. First Timothy, let's just go through some of these different prayers. Well, which one do I use? Well, the more you get acclimated to, first of all, as I said, we're not studying what to do, when to do the different types. Let's just look at Paul and kind of see if we can distinguish the different types of prayer that he himself prayed when he prayed over the churches and gave different prayers to the churches. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Did I tell you to go to 1 Timothy? Okay. Paul said this, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, I'm going to steal this from Gary. I don't know if you've been listening to any of, I hope you're listening to all of his teachings. Something that he broke recently is that we often put a conjunction there immediately that this is specifically, and it is talking about the next verse, about kings and those in authority. But you've got to separate this verse in a sense, and I'm not doing it justice. Please, I hope you're listening to Gary's teaching on this. But when Paul says this, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Stop. Right there, the first subject, or that's it. That's one complete thought right there. The complete thought is that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. For all men. So the next thought, the next part of it is for kings and all those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. The Amplified says this, first of all, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be offered on behalf of all men. Hallelujah. So one of the things that we need to be growing in is saying, Lord, for the purpose of all men, yes, there is a purpose of kings and those in authority, but for all men, Lord, put in effect all these different prayers in my life. And the Holy Spirit will help us. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit helps us is so that we review the Word of God and that we continue to look at the Word of God and say, well, what did Paul pray? Well, Ephesians 1:16, Paul says this. Look, you're right there, so just continue on with me. As I said, it's not my desire to teach the difference, you know, of this is that type of prayer. This is supplication. This is intercession. This is, you can tell when giving of thanks are made. But Paul says this in verse 16 of Ephesians 1. And I'm going to put an I, but he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation. So I'm asking you to really put these prayers, if you will, I encourage you to put these prayers in your life on a weekly basis. Go to these. This is Ephesians 1, 16 and 17. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now here's something that he requests, and this is something that we can say to God as a supplication, petitionary prayer, that the eyes of your, he prayed this for them. We can pray this for ourselves. You can pray this for your pastor. You can pray this for your family. You can pray this for your church, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. God, open up the vastness of your truth to me, that I may know the hope of his calling, or that you may know the hope of his calling. What is my calling? Pastor, can you tell me? No, but God can. You know, maybe if I'm around you enough and discern, I can. But I'll tell you, though, how do I know my calling? Well, go to the Word, look at what the calls are, but ask the Holy Spirit, and he reveals. How many know the Holy Ghost talks? Hallelujah. I said years ago, if you get in that vein where you can hear God, he just, very respectful, Lord, he just won't hush. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. That I may know the hope of his calling, that you may know the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness. This is a prayer that Paul prayed. This is something you need to be praying for yourself and others on a continual basis. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above. I like far above. Far above principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet. Everybody say all things. Listen to me, somebody in the camera. Tonight you're struggling with something. All things are placed under his feet. You need to know that you are in him. The Bible says that we're seated in him. It doesn't say with him. We are seated with him, but it says that we're seated in him. So all things, if all things are under him, then all things are under us. Hallelujah. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And then go to Ephesians 3. It says this. Paul is also praying again. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes there's something, this may sound superficial, but sometimes it's just good to bow your knee. If you're not physically able, that's fine. Some people are not, what they're going through in their life. But sometimes there's something of adoration, and I know it's everything's of the heart, but there's something I find in my life at different times where I have to get on my knee or knees and just hash it out with the Lord, or just talk to Jesus. Hallelujah. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of your glory, of his glory, to be strengthened with might, dynamis power, that power from God, by His Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, in the inner man. That's your spirit. Hallelujah. So God wants us to be continually infused with the power of God in our spirit person, our inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you may be rooted and grounded. Okay, here comes revival. Here comes revival. If we can get this part, everything else falls like dominoes, because love is, Pastor Dave used to say, the last revelation to be had for the fullness of what we're going to walk into is the fullness of His love. Hallelujah. And I do believe that. That you may be that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you may be rooted and grounded in love. That you may be able, I'm putting some of these that, but may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. There's where the fullness of God is at, is in His love. And Paul is saying, be filled, but here's the application. Here's the physical application of it. We need to pray this. Well, I'm praying in tongues. Good. Well, here's a prayer that you can pray with your understanding. Lord, I want to be filled with the fullness of your love. Amen? Filled with the fullness of your love. Why? Because in that, if I'm filled with you, if I'm filled in your love, then I'm filled with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. My natural brain can't comprehend the fullness of Daddy's love. It's beyond me. I can't even of my own self, I don't have enough adjectives, I don't have enough words to comprehend it, even pray it into existence. But my request is that He is able, through the power, He says here, according to the power that worketh in us. In other words, if we are giving ourselves over, He goes beyond our ability to think, ask, imagine, or request. Hallelujah. Thank God for God who supersedes our limitations. Thank you, Jesus. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And then Philippians. Here's some more Pauline prayers. Philippians 1, verse 9. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything? I hope. Philippians 1, 9 says this, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Here Paul is once again speaking. He's praying to the church at Philippi, or he's extending and saying, this is what I'm doing. I'm praying for you that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. Now, I don't have to ask for a show of hands. How many of you want to stand before Him without offense? That He's able to look at you. I've often said to Him, crying, Jesus, I want to be able even now to look, and I really mean this, I mean this now, I meant that then, I want to look at you in the blackness. When I say the blackness, I don't know what color His eyes, His glorified eyes are, but I'm imagining Him sitting on my couch, and I'm saying, I want to look at you in the pupil of your eye and make sure that there's nothing in me. And I mean that. There's nothing in me that has an offense. Because you can say, I love you. You know, you can say, I love you to a person and say, they're right here and I love you, but you're looking a little bit that way. It's good to look right in his face and say, Lord, that the day I meet you and now on this journey, I'm looking straight in your eyes. Hallelujah. That's intimacy. That's fellowship. And Lord, reprove, change me, do whatever you need to for this purpose, Lord, that I may stand before you. Let me read it through again. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, and that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Then Philippians 4, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here's part of, you know, the understanding, and this is very simple, Simon says, is that we present our supplications, and right on the end of our supplications, we're giving thanksgiving. That it's going to happen. We're grateful, but we see it happening, and as a result of what I just supplicated to you, what I petitioned you, and again, in the future, we'll know more how to separate these and teach better on these things. But with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, the part of the adjective of everything that is in that supplication is a thanksgiving that, Lord, these things are going to come to pass. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Not just your spirit, but also your minds. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure. I might as well read it. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Because when I quote it, I say it just the different parts. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Hallelujah. So when I'm going through this and I'm reading this, I'll usually just go, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. So that's how I do it. But I'm imagining those things, speaking those things. And he says, if you do that, then the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. If you think on these things. Hallelujah. Well, what if you don't think on those things? The God of peace won't be with you. He's with you. He hasn't forsaken you. But you won't reap the benefits of that kind of peace. 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul says this. He's speaking about, continuing speaking on prayer. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Now, this is something he asked them to pray for him, but I'm asking you to pray for me, and we need to pray for one another. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with others. Please be praying for your pastor. Pray for me, pray for Homer, pray for the elders, and I'll continue to pray for you that the word of the Lord has free course in us, and that revelation knowledge continue to come about, and that we see things. You know, I don't see things, the foundation has never changed, but there is a progression of revelation as a result of the Lord causing myself and others to be able to see more clearly the things he's given us. And he says that we may, verse 2 says that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. You know, we should be praying. You know, I know persecution is coming, but there's a prayer here that, Lord, please keep us from wicked and unreasonable men. And that's God's best. He will do his, he'll keep us as long as we possibly can from those that will be wicked and unreasonable around us and those that will bring a persecution against the church. He says this, and let's also go to Colossians. We're through there. Colossians 1, another Pauline prayer. Colossians 1, verse 9, he says this, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire," here's the prayer, "that desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will." Lord, give me the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding, that you might be worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Lord, only you, by the Holy Spirit, open up the truth, Father, of this word to us. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Hallelujah. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Thank you, Father. Even the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then chapter 4, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. We need to pray for us, pray for the church. As many of you that can attend, I know some of you have got a long drive and it's too far, but please pray with us on Sunday nights that we're speaking life over the city. And we just believe that there is an ability through the Holy Spirit to just open up the knowledge of God over this town. Hallelujah. How many believe that there God wants more people here than are here tonight? Hallelujah. So there are those that are that God is working on right now, and he's calling them to this place. And our prayers, these types of prayers, are going to open up the ability for the Holy Spirit to go and get these people and bring them to this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 1. I don't know if we read this one already. We may have, but I'll read it again. 1:11-12. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, and that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then another one in Colossians, that was also in chapter 4 that we didn't read. Paul mentions Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And then I just say, Lord, I pray that I just stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Hallelujah. How many of you, that's your desire? Hallelujah. If that's your desire, let's stand. Hallelujah. You guys want to turn these back on there, Ralph? They're kind of getting really warm in here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, simple word of going through some of the Pauline prayers. Hallelujah. Let's pray for Sunday that we have a crowd that comes in here that is desirous of more of you, Father. Hallelujah. Lead us, Harry, in a song tonight as we get ready to go. We love you so much. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.